This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Dub J in the chat says, man, you guys sound like you opened the phones and then you called in yourselves to give opinions on who we might trade. It's a rough listen. Yeah, I agree. It's my fault. Hey, what if we...
He's not wrong.
Could we trade Camposano and, I don't know, throw in Estrada for Paul Skeens? No, it's not going to happen. You're right. That's on us. I was thinking out loud.
And in our defense, I think we were trying to at least come up with
some scenario that makes it sound like, Kevin Acey's like, oh my God, this is going to be like a nuclear bomb. Like, you're like, all right, well, who's a nuclear bomb? It's Francisco Lindor. You know, that's the scope in which I'm trying to think here. And certainly, what a weird 24 hours. Because 24 hours ago, you're going, we got nothing. Nobody wants anybody. We got nothing. This is going to be terrible. Look at our rotation. Matt Waldron's going to be in it. J.P. Sears is going to be in it. This is going to be rough. Here we are the next day, like, hey, we could get Lindor. I mean, it's insane.
Okay, how are you?
We're good. Did you have a trade proposal that you wanted to give us?
Okay, how are you?
I'm still doing good. Anything what's on the table for you, sir? Any idea?
Okay, how are you?
All right, that's enough. That's plenty. It's maybe my favorite job, other than Jugs.
Okay, how are you?
Great. We're doing good.
So got them Jugs.
Thank you. Every day. I need it for the rest of my life. Once a day. Throw it in.
It does. I mean, the rumor...
I'm just trying to think scope here.
The rumor scope is more interesting insane to talk about than the actual move the Padres made yesterday, which was signing minor league free agent pitcher Deyson Acosta to a one-year deal.
Is it Deyson?
Deyson, yes, is how they Deyson pronounce it. Deyson.
Okay.
Yeah, Dominican pitcher... AJ mentioned that
made it all the way to AAA last year.
He and Ty Adcock had two of the best minor league free agent arms that they saw in all of baseball.
Sounds good.
Basically, guys that they see as being able to shuttle between AAA and the big leagues next year.
Bodies, right?
You know, your 12th and 13th relievers in the bullpen, essentially, that you absolutely do need those guys from time to time.
You do.
That have options. That can ride the Southwest Express from El Paso to San Diego, back and forth.
I'm reading the comments on the poor Padres. I'm just trying to put out a graphic of the new guy that looks just like Usher, by the way. It could be Usher's twin. They're just trying to put this thing out. Hey, we just signed Deyson Acosta, right? Here's the comments. Well, these signings are like the good old days of my youth. Who the F are these guys? Big Fat Nothing Burger. Thanks for reminding me to turn the alerts off. Coupon God. Dude, this is... They're just trying to throw this guy. Guys, like, what I do? I just got acquired.
There is a certain danger in creating a welcome to San Diego graphic like Deyson Acosta.
Correct.
Sometimes you can just have a written press release. A blurb somewhere, because I think fans will get the idea that this is like a big move.
Yeah, yes. I agree with that.
And it's not a big move that you shouldn't be excited about. It's absolutely something that every team needs. And they will all sign. Every team will sign a Deyson Acosta and a Ty Adcock during the offseason. Not specifically those guys, but their own versions of it to fill out the back of a bullpen and ride their AAA shuttle.
You get a graphic if you can say with 99% certainty that player's making the opening day roster.
Yeah, I think graphics should be.
Oh, you mean
like the welcome to San Diego graphic should be the rules.
Yes. We expect to be on our opening day roster.
I don't need one for a minor league contract with an invite to spring training camp. I don't need a graphic for anything else. Like, is this somebody that's going to contribute and be in a Padres uniform?
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, someone at the Padres building, like, you know, graphics department hasn't really been doing much lately.
They're bored. Let's
give them some work to do here. We just signed Deyson Acosta.
Hey,
get to it.
Can you make a Deyson Acosta
Can you make
graphic?
Him look even more like Usher, please?
It's crazy. Yes, I got the joke, Deez. So when you ask for a Deyson, but you get a Deyson. Yes, my wife tweeted under my terrible joke yesterday, but I wanted a Deyson. Yeah, you may get one. Play your cards right, sweetheart.
So, a Deyson.
That was That was a move that they made. And again, yeah, you need bodies, you need arms, and like you said, the shuttle to El Paso will be jamming next year, as it always is.
Yeah, not something to discuss too much, but it did happen yesterday. Padres also reportedly, according to Dennis Lynn in The Athletic, filling out their coaching staff for new manager Craig Stammen, including hiring a third base coach, Bob Henley, to replace Tim Leaper, who left to join, I believe, the Mets in the offseason. Kevin Plawecki will be the new catching coach.
He was here.
Yeah, he was working for the Arizona Complex League. It was his first year in coaching last year, so my guess is they thought highly of the work he had been doing.
Good.
And gave him the promotion up to the big league level. Of course, experienced major league catcher. And Ryan Goings as the new infield coach for the San Diego Padres.
Now, he is a disciple of one Ron Washington. So that, I saw that news yesterday. I looked
Who's
it
that?
Up. Ryan Goings.
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 There's no G. It's not going.
I didn't say going.
No, it's going.
I said going.
Goings. Goings. Goings.
Like loin.
Like loin. Loin.
But going.
Goings.
Is it going? You don't say Goings. It right, I don't think.
No, it's Ryan Goings.
Ryan Goings. You say Goings, I say Goings.
Goings.
He studied under the great Ron Washington and was, I believe, a bench coach as well. So I like that. That's the coaching tree that I want to
the
be.
The Giants get the actual Ron Washington.
Yeah,
we get the Timu Ron Washington.
Hey, relax. He could be pretty good.
I'm sure he could.
Listen.
I'm sure he could. As for Bob Henley, I don't know if it's a name that anyone's familiar with. Spent most of his career in the Washington Nationals organization as a coach, a third base coach, a player development coach. Actually, made it through. It was Matt Williams' original third base coach, and then got fired with Matt Williams, but then Dusty Baker rehired him, and then
he
went on to Dave Martinez as well. So a guy that the Nationals just kept through a bunch of different managers on their coaching staff for many years.
Well, let me ask you this. Did he ever get beat out for the third base coaching job by Matt Williams? Because if he did, not sure that we want him here.
He was hired by Matt Williams.
Okay, hired by Matt Williams.
But he wasn't beaten out for it. He was under Matt Williams, and obviously Craig Stammen was there with the Washington Nationals. So this would be, in my view, a Stammen hire. Bob Henley.
Yeah.
Whereas Plawecki is more of an A.J. Preller already in the organization promotion to catching coach on the big league level.
Sure.
And Goings, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know where they...
don't even know how to say his name, actually.
Yeah, fair enough. But again, it comes from the right stock, learning under Ron Washington.
And that was reported by Dennis Lynn, but not officially announced by the San Diego Padres yesterday. Otherwise, we're hearing some more rumors this morning. Ken Rosenthal says the Pittsburgh Pirates have upped their offer to Kyle Schwarber in free agency. 4 years, $125 million.
Okay.
Ooh, that's not going to get it done.
You don't think?
I think that the Pittsburgh Pirates are putting on a little show.
For Paul Skeens, actually.
Paul Skeens and some of their own players as well.
Man,
look
we
at
tried.
Us.
Love so close.
Paul Skeens. Look at us.
What if Schwarber just goes, fine, I'll take
dipping
it.
Our toes
They're
in the
like,
free
no,
agent market.
No, no,
no. No, I think you'd be thrilled if you actually took a somewhat under market deal to join the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's not going to do that.
What is it for? It's about, what, 30 a year?
That would be about 30 a year.
That's, I mean, you're Kyle Schwarber, you're a DH, like.
But can't you get that from an actual competitive team and franchise? I don't think they're.
I don't think
that's an overpay. And you're going to have to overpay if you're going to get someone like that to come to the Pittsburgh Pirates and be part of a rebuild, you know.
Well, they don't really want to call it a rebuild. They do think they have the pitching to compete. You know, some of it. With Jared,
They do. They had top, I think, six starting pitching, top 13 bullpen last year. They were 30th in almost every offensive category.
Yeah, we were 28th in almost every offensive category.
And made the playoffs. That's how bad their 30th was.
Yeah.
Because their pitching was about as good as the Padres. Not as good bullpen-wise, but starting-wise was better. And they were so far behind the Padres because their offense was abysmal last year. But they are, I get the sense that they won't land a big-time free agent. And then they'll probably end up paying
Ryan O'Hearn
for someone that is not going to make a huge difference on their
roster.
Yeah,
they'll pay Ryan O'Hearn like 15, 16, 17 million bucks, and he'll be their addition. He's a decent fit there. He's probably a decent fit anywhere. But yeah, I have no idea what Kyle Schwarber is going to command on the open market. And, you know, I think it's such a no-brainer if you're the Philadelphia Phillies who have money. You know, keep that thing intact. I think if you're them and you've gotten, you know, semi-close and you just need to bust through and you know Kyle Schwarber, you know the kind of person he is, you know the kind of human he is, you know how he fits in the clubhouse, you know how Philly feels about him. What are we talking about? Just sign him. Get him back. Don't let him test the waters anymore. Don't let some team go snatch him. And you just re-sign him if you're the Philly. It's such an easy one for me. That's the, for Dombrowski. Like, there's moves that you have to think about, and then there's moves that you really don't. That should be the one that you're like, Kyle, what do we need to do to get it done? Let's get it done. Want to have you back here. Want to have you in Philly's
pinstripes. And I think that's still the most likely outcome at the end of the day. But, you know, you play the game. You dance the dance.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually they make decisions, and you probably see Kyle Schwarber returning to the Phillies. That's my expectation, at least.
The Tarek Skubal rumor was interesting yesterday, but it came from a guy out of L.A. that I'd never heard of before, and he did kind of a weird thing. He was, like, looking over his shoulder, like he had gotten some proprietary information that he wasn't supposed to hear, and he essentially said that the Dodgers are very close to acquiring Tarek Skubal, one-year rental from the Detroit Tigers for a glut of prospects. Now, the interesting thing is the Dodgers certainly have the amount of prospects it would take to pull off a Tarek Skubal trade. They do. They have enough prospects because they never trade them. This would be massive. Now, I literally saw a Dodger fan that I know and like a lot was like, I would hate if they did this. And I go, why would you hate it? Well, you don't want to give up the whole future. I go, are you joking? You're joking right now. Like, please don't. You're not allowed to do this. Let me speak to all the Dodger fans out there. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to complain about prospects and losing prospects. You're not. Because, A, you guys are really good at finding them, developing them, allegedly. You also have the money to fix any mistake. The other one, another guy weighed in, Sal, and he goes, yeah, well, he's a Boris client, and, you know, there's too many variables. I go, you have the one variable Scott Boras cares about, the one and only one he cares about, and you have it more than anybody. You have money. And if you trade for Tarek Skubal, it's, yeah, we're gonna sign you, trade for you and sign you to this massive extension, and then Tarek Skubal's a Dodger. I go, if you're Andrew Friedman, why wouldn't you do this?
If you believe in your organization, in your clubhouse, which the Dodgers obviously do for good reason.
He's a great fit anywhere.
You get him in, you feel confident that between spending a year, you know, in the Dodgers clubhouse having the money
you
to
just
sign
re-sign him,
him
the day you get him.
you offer. I mean, there's no guarantee that he says yes. He may want to hit free agency, but I don't think you have to worry too much about losing him.
I don't think you have to worry too much at all. Again, you have the one variable that Scott Boras, his agent, cares about, and that's money. And you have it in you have heaps of it. And you guys, if you trade Zaire Hope and you trade some of your other prospects, who cares, man? You got Tarek Skubal, and you're going for, you know, five straight World Series here in a couple years. I don't want it to happen. I'm just saying it's asinine to think that you shouldn't or couldn't do it. It's like I told one the other day, I go, he tweeted, he goes, let's go, Dodgers, do something. I wrote back, I go, shut up, Jacob. Just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You just won two straight. You're returning most of your players next year. You got $80 million coming off the books. Like, you're probably going to trade for a Tarek Skubal sort. Like, just shut up. You're not allowed to complain. Ever. You're never allowed to complain on Twitter. You've lost all complaining privileges. It's over.
There's nothing to complain about.
Literally nothing.
They have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, more money than they know what to do with.
Probably the hardest thing ever being a fan. Have you ever been a fan of a team where you literally had nothing to complain about?
Shohei's contract has paid for itself already. Like, you're good. You're so good. You make so much money. The team makes so much money in endorsements and sponsorships and things like that. Your players are set. The culture's great. You won two World Series. What are we talking about?
Trying to think of, like, other dynasties and other sports and, like, what those fan bases may have had to complain about.
Yeah.
Giants fans, well, we can't win in an odd year, only in an even year.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is valid.
Like, hey, man, we just in the World Series. We didn't make the playoffs.
It's not valid. You won three World Series in 5 years.
You didn't know you were going to win three.
Yeah. You have one bad year after winning a World Series, you're feeling okay. And then you go back and win another one next year. Yeah. I mean, Patriots fans, they have anything to complain about?
No,
they didn't have much to complain about.
Boy, they tried, though.
Salary cap, you know, you had guys you wanted to add maybe, but you couldn't because the stupid NFL and their stupid salary cap.
Yeah.
Like, Dodger fans literally have nothing.
They have nothing, man.
About.
You got your TV money will be arriving any day now for the upcoming season. That's $350 million. You got 80 coming off the book. That's what, 420? Is that right? Is that
430.
430? God, I'm so bad at math. 430 in your kitty, just sitting there. What are we doing here?
Traffic. You can complain about the traffic. That's about
100%.
Yeah.
And the ballpark that smells like urine. Yeah. But other than that, you really can't complain about much. Man, that's crazy. Why would you not want to get him? If you're a Dodger fan, why are you like, yeah, hell yeah, Scooble's out there? All it's going to cost me is Zaire Hope and a couple other prospects. And
right.
What, like,
Dave Roberts said yesterday, you know, they plan on making Shohei Ohtani a starter again, but want to limit his innings, so they're going to have a... not necessarily six-man rotation, but they're going
to... call it a hybrid.
They're going to do what they do. They're going to put guys on the
IL.
On the IL. You know, they're going to watch innings. I'm sure Snell will spend a stint on the IL during the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Yamamoto probably is going to get one as well.
He probably needs one.
I would think so at this point.
The tread of the last couple of years.
I, you know...
get that July, like, 6th.
Could the Dodgers already put the best rotation in baseball out if they wanted?
Today,
absolutely.
Yeah,
would it be even better with Tarek Skubal?
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I mean, if you're Andrew Friedman, you're like, I am Thanos. Like, I'm just going to go for it. I'm throwing caution
I mean,
to the wind.
Why stop now?
Mookie's not going to be Mookie forever. Freddie's getting, you know, a little bit older.
I mean,
you saw a little bit of breakdown from those guys, a little bit.
I don't want to see it, obviously.
I don't either, but why wouldn't you?
Heading into a season with uncertainty in 2027 as well, like, I would just be going balls out right now. Like,
I mean,
why
that,
not?
Bro, I would be the most drunken sailor GM of that team that you've ever seen.
And if it doesn't work out, who cares?
With my pants off, running around making trades for Tarek Skubal, I'd go get Aaron Judge, I'd figure a way. There's no question.
If they traded prospects for Skubal and he got injured in spring training and had Tommy John, like, out for the year.
They're still fine.
It has no impact
zero.
On them negatively whatsoever.
Zero. Because damn near all those prospects are blocked anyway.
Right.
So, like, what do you care? Oh, man, Zaire Hope's really tearing it up in AAA. Like, forget it. You go do it. That's what you do.
And ultimately, even if you did trade him, and he turned out to be a superstar. Guess what?
You can get him back.
6 years, you can sign him as a free agent and bring him right back.
I'm telling you, this dynasty's not going anywhere, right. So you better just get used to it, dude.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, a little Don't Do This on a Tuesday, plus Sammy Levitt going to join us at the bottom of the hour from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando with everything that's going on this morning. You've seen what he's hearing from the hallways at the Waldorf Astoria in Orlando.
Where they are, the Waldorf?
That's where AJ's staying. That's where Sammy did the interview in his suite at the top floor of the Waldorf. We have to ask. Is Sammy staying at the Waldorf? I think he said there was like two hotels that were connected. I'm guessing he's in
the Hampton Indorf.
That's where he's at. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The
Got him.
quickly, gang. We talk all the time about QC Kinetics. Very much a proponent and advocate for QC Kinetics. I don't want you, the tier ones out there, I don't want you to be in pain. If your knees hurt, your shoulders, your hips, your back, your wrists even, pain will certainly have a way of creeping up on you and stealing the moments in your life that matter the most, especially during the holidays. Many of you spending some time with your family, moving around, and just it's so great to wake up in the morning and be pain-free. And some people just need a little help finding the way back. So QC Kinetics right here in San Diego believes relief does not have to come from surgery or pain pills. They use your body's own natural healing abilities to repair and restore what's been lost, helping you move, live, and feel like yourself again. It's powered by the very cells that built you in the first place. No surgery, no pain pills, no long recovery. Just your body remembering how to feel alive again. Getting rid of the inflammation in your joints. Oh, it's the best feeling, I'm telling you. QC Kinetics delivers long-term relief, finally. So make this season of giving your turning point where pain stops defining you. A pain-free life is the greatest gift you can give yourself. With QC Kinetics, healing is within reach. Schedule a free consultation today. Great time to use your HSA and FSA for treatments. Call 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. Two locations, one in Torrey Hills, one in Hillcrest. 619-614-PAIN. It's QC Kinetics.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this, brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a trust your will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Well, this one's a little older, but Quentin Jammer, former San Diego Chargers cornerback.
We don't have to know everything, guys. Some stuff you can just leave in the chamber.
Decided to come clean on Twitter yesterday.
Actually, not clean.
Or not clean, but he certainly was being
honest.
This
wasn't even like on a podcast.
No, this was just tweeted it randomly in the middle of the day.
So we really just
hey,
like,
by the way, guys.
This wasn't like, yeah, I'm on all the smoke and I'm just
I'm shooting the breeze.
Oh, you guys, you wouldn't believe this, but 15 years ago, he just out of nowhere decided to post this.
Yep. Good player, good guy, you know, covered him for many years.
You've been to his home.
I had been to his home, interviewed him for our Monday Night Football postgame show once on ABC 10. Quentin Jammer said that was a tough year. He was going through a divorce that year.
2011.
Started drinking in 2011.
Yep.
And said, true story, in 2011, I played completely S-face drunk in at least 8 games.
That's half the season
for one of your best Pro Bowl players.
Drunk, not hungover, I think. Like drinking before a game and like being blotto when you're out there playing cornerback in the NFL.
That's insane.
Crazy.
By the way, Chargers missed the playoff by one game, losing a tiebreaker that year for the playoffs. Don't know if a sober Quentin Jammer in just one of those games might have made a difference or not. But, that's a little disappointing to hear after the fact.
Well, and again, if you didn't tell us, we wouldn't know. And then he opened himself up. I mean, go read the comments on the tweet. People are like, yeah, bro, I know, I watched that season. Were you drunk on this play? How about this play? And it's like, and then he's like getting mad in the comments. It's like, hey, Quentin, nobody knew this until you said it. Like, it's like you're asking people to throw rocks at you, and then when they do, you're like, why are you throwing rocks at me? It was a joke.
His teammates, some of them had to know, right? You can't hide it from everybody. But
I would imagine, man.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. I mean, you know, I put a lot of my energy into those Chargers.
Paul, your wife says
back in the day.
We should all be impressed. It is impressive to do. It's an impressive feat. It's a dumb. I think it's for a professional athlete. It's I kind of like you at your best, if possible.
Yes,
you know,
well, yeah. Doing it was dumb. Coming clean now is frank and honest, and you know maybe.
But you can't
healthy.
Get mad. You can't get mad when people get mad about that.
True. Then I don't think he did.
He was like defending himself.
I was like 21 or 22. I remember one night, me and my friends just got hammered. Hammered. We walked over to San Diego State to the gym. We wanted to play some basketball at like 1 in the morning. I was falling all over my feet.
Can you imagine playing cornerback at a high level?
You wanted to vomit. Like, that was just pickup basketball, like 3-on-3. And we were like, this is so stupid.
This is so dumb.
I can't imagine playing in the NFL cornerback in an NFL game. That is crazy.
Well, maybe Jalen Hurts needs to be examined then, because after his night last night against the Chargers, holy smokes, 5 total turnovers and sets the dubious honor, Ben, for the first quarterback ever to commit 2 turnovers on the same play.
So hard to do when you think about it.
That guy fumbles.
He threw a pick in the midway through the second quarter, threw a pick to Deshaun Hand, who got it, was running with it. Now, he's a defensive lineman, so ball security is probably not at the top of his list. He fumbled it. Woo, we dodged a bullet. Jalen Hurts picked that ball up. okay, thank God.
Crisis, half a second.
He gets drilled, drops it again. Commits the first player to commit 2 turnovers in the same play dating back to 1978, which is as far back as its research goes.
Because the only way that's possible is if 3 turnovers are committed on the same
play. In the same play.
Which you never see. You rarely see. 2 is crazy.
3 is crazy.
Is almost impossible, but both of them for the same player. Imagine how he felt. He throws the pick. He's going, you know.
Damn it.
Oh, man. And then he sees.
He gets it back.
And then he sees the fumble, and he's got it in his hands. The relief that must have washed over his whole body for that half
a
second he was holding the ball going,
yeah.
Oh, I got it back. We got a first down. Here we go.
Thank God.
And then it's like, no.
It's crazy. And then threw a, I believe he threw a pick on the very next time they had the ball.
And then he threw a pick on the last
next
play of the game
and last
in overtime
game.
After the Chargers
like
kicked a field goal.
Four turnovers in like 10 or 11 plays.
It was, I mean.
He was responsible for five turnovers. They lost by three.
Four interceptions, a fumble. And they had every chance to win that game against the Chargers, which was played, again, in Los Angeles in front of a stadium full of Eagles fans.
It was loud.
Completely green.
So loud.
Everybody cheering for the Eagles. And I know, you know, when they left San Diego in 2017, we'll give it a decade. Well, we're 8 years in, and no one cheers for your team.
It was so loud. It sounded like Philly. It really did. If you're a blind man and you didn't know, you were watching that game last night, you're like, man, Philly is lit tonight.
Well, you know, Qualcomm, when the Chargers were bad, Qualcomm Stadium was filled with opposing fans. Raiders fans, Broncos fans. True, sometimes 60, 70% opposing fans when the Chargers were bad. When the Chargers were good.
They're good.
It was 80, 90% Chargers fans. Chargers are very good
this
year.
They're a good team.
And it's 90% road fans in their games. 90%.
Justin Herbert, man. He made... Again, easy guy to root for. Really good quarter. Did you see the throw he made? Oh, my God.
I was joking with my son watching the game. I go, oh, they're about to sack him. That means he's about to throw a long
dart.
First down completion. It's like, don't even go after him. Like, the closer you get to sacking him, the closer he gets to making a big play.
How much fun would we have covering that guy on a daily basis?
It'd be a lot of fun.
No.
Justin Herbert, honorable mention, don't do this?
Yeah. We played it this morning. Who is it? Laura Rutledge. Went to grab him after the game, big emotional overtime win, and he was like, I'm trying to go celebrate with my team. And it's, all right, dude, but this isn't your first game. Like, you know that you have to answer
this. This is part of your job.
It's part of the job.
He was like, walking away, chasing him down.
Justin!
Say, I know, we just need a minute. And, yeah, it was weird. I don't know.
Not an unusual request for ESPN to want to interview the star quarterback at the end of a win.
No.
Agreed. All right, finally, this.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
Congratulations to all of the Heisman Trophy finalists, but in particular, San Diego, Carlsbad High's own Julian Sain, who's one of the four who will be in New York for the ceremony coming up on Saturday. He will be joined by Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, Notre Dame running back Jeremiah Love, and Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza, who is viewed as the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. Although, after all this Notre Dame drama...
Could you imagine?
Jeremiah Love could get some, I think, extra love from the voters at the last minute, going, oh, they got screwed on Sunday, because the ballots weren't all due until Monday.
Yeah.
And it could work in his favor, potentially, for some late voting. Because, you know, Mendoza had a great season. But the numbers for him and Sain were like outrageous quarterback numbers. And Love was fantastic.
And he split carries this year, too. Jeremiah Love did. He split carries. So that's a really impressive season. I love that dude. He's going to be a beast at the next level. I'll be rooting for him. But yeah, Mendoza's probably a lock. It's a quarterback award now. You know that.
It is a quarterback award.
It's quarterback
for the most
award.
Part. Yep. And that is Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Sammy Leavitt was hobnobbing with the Padres power brokers yesterday. AJ Preller, Craig Stammen will get an update live from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando from our own Sam Leavitt coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
Back here in San Diego, though, 7 Mile Casino is the best place to play cards, bar none. I've been to most of the card rooms in town, and I love 7 Mile the most for many different reasons. Not just because it's the closest and easiest to get to, but when you actually walk in, you feel comfortable. You feel like you've gone into kind of a nice club, restaurant. It's upscale. It's light. They've got windows. It's not dingy in the least bit, like a lot of card rooms can feel a little dingy. Like, am I doing something illegal being here? No, at 7 Mile Casino, you feel like this is a reputable establishment.
Yeah, definitely does not feel seedy at all when you go into 7 Mile Casino. We've been there just for lunch before. We've been there pre-game for a Padres game before. It's great. Great place. Great place to play California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em, Pie Gown, Baccarat. Always some action going at 7 Mile Casino. Proximity to downtown is pretty great, 7 minutes away. You know, there's other places. If you like slot machines, 7 Mile's not for you because they don't have them. It's a place for card players.
And it's one of the only places in San Diego that serves food 24-7. In addition to the Sammy's menu, the 24-7 players menu available anytime during the day. Get the Kung Pao Chicken. It is my absolute favorite. Such a great menu item at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Is he at the Waldorf or the Hampton Inn Dorf?
The Hampton Inn Dorf.
We will find out. Dorf? Sammy Leavitt live from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. He's going to join us coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam Leavitt with us on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Yesterday, you kind of told us that there's kind of two hotels connected as the headquarters for the baseball winter meetings. And I saw you up in A.J. Preller's suite, which I read was at the top floor of the Waldorf Astoria. And I thought, there's no way that Adam Klug put you up at the Waldorf Astoria. Are you staying at the Waldorf? No. He's not staying at the Waldorf.
No, I'm at the other hotel. So there's this hotel I'm in right now. And then there's the Waldorf Astoria. Now, in between is the convention center with all the ballrooms. All right. So it's kind of an interesting setup because there are two different brands of hotels, but they do seem to share this
convention center
in between. But no, I am not at the Waldorf.
Man, okay. You had a great day out there yesterday, Sammy. Saw you talking to Harold Reynolds, who I love Harold Reynolds' enthusiasm and energy. Always liked him. We've had him on the show before. Who else did you get a chance to talk to besides A.J. Preller?
Yeah, Craig Stammen certainly was a highlight to hear from Craig and catch up with him. I mean, I was on vacation during his opener press conference, so I had not seen him since he got hired, and I've always been a fan of Craig's and had a chance to cover him as a player in 2022 and in spring training in 2023 before he retired, so did a little one-on-one with him. I would encourage people to go watch that. You know, we touched on a number of things that he talked about in his general press conference, but a couple of really interesting notes from Craig yesterday, even beyond, and I'm sure we'll get to it. The bullpen situation and the idea of will the Padres or will they not make those guys starters? But a couple of notes from Craig that I thought were interesting yesterday. Number one, he took a trip down to the Dominican Republic in the last month or so, had conversations, meetings with Fernando Tatis Jr., with Randy Vasquez, with Ramon Laureano. First time he had ever been down to the Dominican. And look, Craig, you know, in that opening press conference talked a lot about the importance of chemistry and relationships and team building. So to know that he's been down there, I think is certainly a good thing to hear. I also talked to him about the staff so far. Randy Knorr, the bench coach, Steven Souza Jr., the hitting coach, what they saw in both those guys. I think it's safe to say, you know, especially when you consider a bench coach, that's going to be a pretty important role for a guy in Craig Stammen, who's not only a first-time manager, but a reliever, spent most of his life in the bullpen and not in the dugout. So would encourage people to go check that out. But good to talk to Craig and AJ. I did talk to Harold Reynolds. I think I'm going to talk to Dennis Lynn here in a little bit, get a little bit more insight on what he's hearing as far as what he reported yesterday about Nick Pivetta and all of that. So a lot to do the next day or two.
I will say Craig Stammen has already learned to talk the talk of managers in just a couple of short weeks on the job.
Well, and walk the walk by going down there. I mean, that's a great move. Like, that's just a good, like, look, let's call it what it's an eyewashy move. That's a good move,
easy,
though.
Good
easy,
PR
good
move.
PR eyewash move. I got to have it. You guys know I love the eyewash. Give it to me.
But he did talk about his starting rotation yesterday. He said, we value the guys we currently have. He says, we've got five guys that we feel can be very good and have been very good in the major leagues. And Mike, my follow-up question, I wasn't there,
he's
but my follow-up question would be, who?
Who?
Who are those five guys that have been very good in the major leagues?
Pivetta has been very good.
Yes. Joe Musgrove, yes. Randy Vasquez,
yes.
Sort of.
Yes.
Very good, sort of.
You don't get the name Strandy by not being good.
After that, I'm going like, who are you talking about?
Matt Waldron had a run.
Well, can I defend myself for a second? Okay. I knew I was going to talk to Craig afterwards one-on-one, so I allowed the general media session to be more for everyone else. So I think I asked one question during that whole thing, but Yeah, I mean, look, I certainly understand what you're saying. You know, look, they've got probably two or three, but getting to five, as, and not to disrespect those guys, but, you know, the Matt Waldrons of the world who have had nice runs, but getting to five as far as very, very good long-term track records, I think would be a little difficult right now.
Feel like it's just something that you have to say.
Exactly. He's learning to talk the talk of being a manager.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I'm going to draft a little league team for the first time, Sammy, in January. How's your team look? Great. They look great. Got a lot of talent. These kids are going to be great. They're gonna really, really give a lot of effort. We're going to win some ball games. I mean, that's just what you say. It doesn't make him any different.
Put it this way. Craig is saying what he should say on December.
Correct.
7th.
No doubt. Whatever. Talking to Sammy. 8th. Talking to the great Sammy Leavitt, live from Orlando. Obviously, the big blurb came out in Kevin Acey's piece, and Eno Saris was tweeting, hearing things, and now there's a lot of buzz around a big potential Padres move. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Anything that you're hearing this morning? Sobering up this morning?
I haven't heard anything to the effect of the Padres are going to do something super, super massive here right now. Now, I will say this, and I want to be a little careful when I say this. I have been almost taken aback, and this is not anybody I've talked to with the Padres. This is more just talking with people here, people who cover the game, you know, more national-type media members. I am a little taken aback, and I think this won't surprise you guys, that when the Padres come up, it's like, one of the first things that gets brought up is, hey, well, you know, they're going to have to trade Tatis at some point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there just seems to be this, like, default setting.
Yes.
I don't think that. I don't agree with that. But it does make me, like, and then you read what Kevin wrote yesterday late, and it does make me sort of, you know, sit here and think, like, man,
Could it?
Is there going to be something really, really big? I mean, look. There are, if there's going to be something monumental, it could go a lot of different ways. You could be talking about acquiring someone, although, you know, do you have the prospect capital to do that? I don't know. Or is it something involving somebody that you're not expecting? I don't know. You know, Kevin kind of dropped that in there yesterday. I'm not totally sure what to make of it. I certainly haven't heard anything significant in that regard, but this is AJ Preller. And who knows? You know, he has shocked us before, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised that things are being discussed that maybe come out of left field.
Sam Leavitt is with us on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline, live from the baseball winter meetings in Orlando. John Seidler also went on the record with some comments there. I don't know if you've spotted John walking around the meetings, but probably encouraging news, Sammy, when he says pretty clearly Padres payroll is going to be very similar to what it was last year, which was top 10 in baseball, number 8, I think, over the luxury tax level. That says to me, and I would imagine you agree, that they are going to spend some money in free agency at some point this offseason, even if it doesn't happen in the next 2 days.
Yeah, and I think a couple of points on that. Number one, this very well may be an offseason where this looks very similar to last year and the year before, where this is very, very late moving for this team. And it may not be very exciting for a while, but maybe those moves a la the Profars, the Pivetas that ended up playing such big roles in a couple of 90-plus win seasons, maybe that's the way it looks again this year. I agree with you, Ben. Look, they're going to spend some amount of money. I think how they free up payroll, what this looks like inevitably throughout the winter is really the question. That's why, you know, the idea of shopping a Pivetta who's scheduled to make $19 million, look, it seems counterintuitive if you're trying to improve your rotation to trade
is
your best starter right now. However, they do need quantity.
I like
not
that.
It's
a new word.
Quantity, not just quality. So, you know, I'll talk to Dennis about it in a little bit, but that's why it might be why you're hearing that. And I do want to touch on this just to take it in a bit of a different direction, because one of the things that came out yesterday from Craig and AJ was the talk about the bullpen guys and the potential of them moving to the rotation. And that was the discussion around Miller, Morahone, and David Morgan. It's certainly, and I think it's appropriate for this conversation about spending money, because, you know, look, one of the ways you start filling holes in that rotation is stretching guys out and transitioning them into starters out of that trio. Now, sounded like they're leaning towards not doing that, towards keeping those guys in the bullpen. However, I will say, when I spoke to A.J. Preller yesterday, you know, he essentially said they had the right to sort of revisit it as they got deeper into the offseason, and he would have more conversations with Mason Miller in particular about it. So I would say the operative word when it comes to that conversation about the relievers is leaning. You know, the way the news came out yesterday from Craig Stammen talking, I thought it came out a little bit like cut and dry, like, oh, no, they're not doing it. Those guys are in the bullpen. That's not the impression I got in hearing AJ talk a little bit later. Again, leaning, I think, is the operative word there. But it sounds like that's not totally out of the realm of possibility, and perhaps what they do in the weeks and months to come as we head towards spring training will impact some of that decision-making as far as potentially moving one or more of those guys into the rotation, which, you know, of course, ties into the amount of money they will or will not spend.
Well, just like yesterday, J.P. Morosi is live on television while you are on with us, but this time
I'm not in the same spot.
You're not in the shot. He has moved out by the pool today. It looks like the weather has improved.
You know who saw that? It has. It's much sunnier today. I actually spent a little time in the sun just before I came on. No, I'm in a different spot. I'll give you a couple of behind-the-scenes notes here. Number one, you know who else saw me on MLB Network behind J.P. Morosi?
Your mom.
A.J. Preller.
A.J. Preller.
No, A.J. Preller.
Oh, my God.
A.J. Preller was like, I saw you earlier today. I was like, oh, morning, you know, it's really getting around. I'm getting tweets. Here's the other thing. Another reason I switched locations today, and I did my final two hits of the day here in the lobby instead of a little bit down the way there behind where Morosi is set up. I'll tell you why. The media workroom here is the coldest place in America right now. I can't do it. It's so cold. I can't sit in there. My hotel room is just up the way here. The elevator's right here. So I said, you know what? Let me keep my stuff, my laptop, all that stuff in my hotel. If I need to go on my laptop, I'll go to my room. Keep the radio equipment, all that. I'll bring it down when I have to do these hits, and it's perfect. So now I'm here at the lobby. You get a great view for the YouTube audience.
Got a Christmas tree for Woods.
Here we go.
I brought one in because he needed one today, one of the holiday lights. You've got him for Woods as well.
Thank you, buddy.
Sammy, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, and we'll hear from you later today with Braden and Gwen and Chris.
All right, guys. See ya.
Sammy Levitt on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Sammy didn't seem like AJ was quite as, I don't know, ready to move as maybe Kevin Acey made it seem. We'll see what actually happens. One more day of the winter meetings coming up tomorrow. We'll continue to break it down in the second half of Ben and Woods next year on 97.3 The Fan.